Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here, and we're going to start here with our Sunday school. We want to thank God for those of you that are visiting in-house, all of our friends. We want to thank God for those of you that are watching online. We're going to show you how you can obtain a book material that we're currently studying as a church, so that way you can follow along with us wherever you may be around the world. When you click on our church website here, www.sfbcoca.org, we're going to go ahead and click on this Bible study tab. On this Bible study tab, click here on the Bible Baptist Church of Deland, Florida. Go ahead and click on this hyperlink for the website link, and then it's going to redirect us. Then we're going to go to the store tab on their church ministry, and then we're going to click on books. This is where you can order the book that we're studying here on page number 2. We highly recommend you search every other page there as well for information. Not only do they have it in English, but they have it in Spanish too. That's pretty cool. But here it is, Signs, Wonders, and Miracles. Highly encourage you to purchase this book as soon as possible and follow along with us in our topical Sunday school book teaching. Amen. All right, so with that said, friends, let's go ahead and turn in our Sunday school book to page number 23. And we're going to pick up where we left off here from last Sunday. Page 23. And for those of you who were with us last Sunday, quite interesting Bible teaching that we were learning in regards to the Acts chapter 2 manifestation of the Holy Spirit being dispensed upon the believers, the 120 that were gathered in the upper room as they obeyed the word of Jesus Christ after his ascension back to the Father. And as they were waiting, we studied the matter that they waited there. And when the Spirit of God descended, there came a sound from heaven, not from hell, as of a rushing mighty wind. So nothing of a wind, but a sound in the likeness, we were reminded. And they were all sitting down, not hopping around, leaping around, and all this craziness like you see on YouTube nowadays. Secondly, we saw there that the cloven tongues were like as of fire. So what does that tell you? There was an apparent visible manifestation, but it was not the speaking in tongues that followed. It was the seeing of a cloven tongue. Notice once again, the Bible does not say that there were so many are being told it was. There are no actual tongues of fire is the point. Because all of our modern charismatic Pentecostal people say fire, 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 because right there, but the figure of speech there in the Holy Bible, Acts 2:3, like as of fire, all right? So this is what we're going to pick up here at the middle of the paragraph, starting with, this is very important. So before we do, let's go ahead and pray. God, we thank you for blessing us with another day of life and breath not promised to us to gather here at church to glorify the name of Jesus. Please fill us with your Spirit and help us to have an understanding today as we read some great material, but most of all that we would believe the Bible that's being quoted in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now this is very important. There's a horrible error made by those who teach that this is the baptism of fire which John the Baptist warned in Matthew 3:11. We see from the reading the entire statement which continues to verse 12 that the baptism of fire is to be immersed in the lake of fire for rejecting the Messiah. That's what I love about independent Baptist preachers like Pastor Josh back there in El Cajon. When my wife and I visited about 3 weeks ago, he preached on the baptisms, one of the baptisms in the New Testament. And when the Lord says that he would baptize him in fire, it's not the Pentecostal fire-speaking tongue manifestation like our brethren believe all around. That is literally Jesus submerging sinners in a lake of fire one day. That's the baptism of fire, but folks don't want to believe the Bible anymore. That's sad, but that's what it teaches. And so what appeared there is there that the cloven tongue, it sat upon each of them in Acts 2:3. You can see that for yourself in the Bible. No one present was excluded. All obeyed and all received the promise. And verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, that is quite clear as it stands. Notice carefully, the filling with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues are two separate statements. How about that? Both events took place in the lives of those believers in this upper room. Notice also, they spoke with other tongues and that this utterance was given them by the Spirit, with a capital S, God's Holy Spirit. So who can say that tongues are not a gift from God, delivered and administered by the Holy Spirit? No one who believes the Bible as it stands. Let me raise another question. Did these men and women have the fleshly tongue cut out of their mouths and have another fleshly tongue placed in their mouths? Anybody? No. Now, please don't think me ridiculous, Brother James says. He needs to make this point because some will still want to deny that the gift of tongues is the ability to speak in another language not known to the speaker. Therefore, we must establish in this very first instant of speaking in tongues that we can make no sense of these plain, spirit-inspired words if we try to make tongues the organ of speech rather than the language spoken. That's the point. You see there? It's not the organ of speech, but the language being spoken. In Acts 2:5, the Bible continues to tell us, there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Remember, friends, this day of Pentecost was one of the three great Jewish national festivals when all the males were required to go to Jerusalem. Let's look at Deuteronomy 16 to remind all of our believers watching today that the Bible tells us to whom the law was given, and under that law, these people groups, the Jews, were to obey it. And according to this law, here's what it says in Deuteronomy 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's the first, in the Feast of Weeks, that's the second, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, that's the third. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. It was also called the Feast of Weeks. If we go down earlier in chapter 16, verse 12 in Deuteronomy, chapter 16, the Bible says in verse 10, thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. It was called the Feast of Weeks, we just read that, Deuteronomy 16:10, because it was 7 weeks from the Passover. The Feast of Harvest, Exodus 23:16, show you there quickly on the screen, Exodus 23:16. All these Bible notes are there in your book. Oh, not 22, Exodus 23:16. The Bible tells us here, and the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labors which thou hast sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Because it was a feast of thanksgiving for the harvest. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy 26:5-10. And the feast of the first fruits, Numbers 28:26. Because on this day the Jews offered to God the first fruits of the wheat harvest and bread made of new grain, Leviticus 23:15-20. The feast was also regarded as commemorating the giving of the law, which was delivered from Mount Sinai on the 50th day after the departure from Egypt. That is the institution of the Passover. So what do we observe? God, in his wisdom, selected a day on which all the males of Israel would be present in the city of David's throne. They would be gathered to worship under the old covenant on the day the law was given. On this day, the Father sent the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the manifold wisdom of God, the preaching of the new covenant began on a day when the men of his chosen people have gathered out of every nation under heaven. But how would they all hear and understand this preaching? Remember, these Jews lived in other parts of the earth, and they would come from where they were living to honor God because God commanded the Jewish males, it is by their law. They need to come present themselves before the Lord and bless him. But how would they understand? Well, friend, God took care of that. He gave the Holy Spirit, and with it the necessary power and enabling for these believers to be his witnesses. Go back to Acts 2, and let's read this together, and you have it there in your book. In verse number 4, they were filled with the Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this noise was abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because, are you ready? That every man heard them speak in his own language. Own language. Now, we shall see in a moment which members of the 120 believers addressed the multitude in the public place to which they had restored it after the coming of the Holy Ghost in the upper room. But at this point, please notice that these men were not confounded because they were hearing incoherent babbling or a stringing together of nonsensical syllables. The men who heard the believers speak with other tongues were confounded because they could understand what was being said. Therefore, the other tongue received on the day of Pentecost by those in the upper room was, beyond all shadow of a doubt, the ability to speak in a language unknown to the speaker, but known to the hearer. Are you ready? Let's continue there. And they, verse number 7, were all amazed and marveled, those that heard the word, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Verse number 8. And how hear we, every man in what? Say with me, our own tongue, wherein we were born. Now, the only way you can make the gift of tongues given at Pentecost something other than an earthly language is to throw away the word of God. Amen. The Bible is crystal clear on this matter. Now, before we move any forward, I'll just give you a quick summary here. We had a great fellowship with a great brother last night, and ironically, we were discussing this matter. And we were giving him scripture, and we gave him the first mention of tongues, as we just saw here in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Now, there's two options the believer has when given Bible. The first is they have the option to believe a pastor, or a church tradition, or a church statement of faith, or their experiences or their feelings. Or number two, they can believe the Bible. I chose number two. I believe the Bible. And with that said, the Bible defines for us tongues as being known earthly languages. So when the Spirit gave them utterance, he gave the utterance of the language being spoken from the speaker, unknown to them, but known to the hearers, which were these Jews coming out from every part from which they lived. This is not a waka 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 tongue being spoken, the Pac-Man language, like I like to say, or the halakala mala maga and angels from Africa tongues being spoken. This is not clearly connected with the today's Pentecostal charismatic churches from Assemblies of God, the Victory Outreaches, whatever other churches out there. I'm just giving you two that I have experience in. Any Christian church body, all right, that believes in Christ, who practices the gift of tongues with their syllables and frequent oft-repeated terminologies, it's not biblically defined correctly according with the scriptures. I'll give you one more before we continue this book. A long time ago, I believe this was before I met Katie. I went soul winning with my friends from Calvary Chapel. This was a long time ago when some of the brethren still went out there to evangelize. That was a blessing. And there was a charismatic fellow. I forgot his name. He went to this church off of Melrose by this, I think it was called the Life Church, somewhere over there off Melrose, by the carpet place. It's called UFO, Melrose Drive in Vista. And this fellow would go out there every once in a while. He'd bring a violin, and he'd play for people, try to witness, and another guy went with him every once in a while. And there was a friend of mine, I'm not going to give his name, but a very dear friend who went with me, all right? And when this friend of mine went with me, and we engaged this believer, and he started talking with us, camaraderie, and he wanted to pray, and talking about, do you guys have the gift of tongues, supernatural spirit, power? And as he was praying, I'm never going to forget, he literally said these words, guys. He said, all right, now repeat after me. Pray like this. Repeat it. My friend foolishly did. And I was there like, dude, what is going on right now? We all have our arms around each other. Oh, la, 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 baka, baka, baka. And my friend's doing it. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing in my heart? But this is before I became an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing King James Baptist guy. This was just me being a normal Christian guy, but I already knew. For some reason, I knew that this was not proper. You don't receive the Spirit by utterance of tongues by another guy telling you, repeat after me, habba, 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 wabba, mabba. That's not biblical at all. Now, I already understood that because I believe this Bible. And I went to Acts chapter number 2, and I said, wait a second, it's a gift given by the Spirit of God. This is not something that a man can do for you. I can't teach you, come to my supposed prophecy school and pay me $150 for a 3-week class, and out of a sudden you're going to start speaking in an unknown tongue. This is a divine gift. Now that's how they all do it. They all do the same thing in all those Pentecostal churches, but they're wrong. Are they saved? Yep. Do they love Jesus? Yes, they do. Are they wrong about the Bible? Yes, they are. Point blank. And if you're too shy to tell them, give them my number. I'll Bible thump them any time of the day. Just not at night because the brother's trying to sleep. But anyways, if we keep reading here, the only way that you can make the gift of tongues given at Pentecost something other than an earthly language is to throw away the Word of God. The Bible's pretty clear. Now let's keep reading. What are these known tongues from where these Hebrews, wherever they came from, wherever they lived at? Let's read. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia. By the way, that's where Daddy Abraham came from. Remember that? Mesopotamia in the land of Ur. Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome. How about that? That's where I said you have Gentiles, some proselytes there, okay? And Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So that there would never be any confusion of false doctrines about secret prayer languages last night. But what about if this guy is praying in a secret prayer language? You know, spirit language. Yeah, that's not anywhere in the Bible. I'm sorry, you're wrong. The Bible's right. There is no little secret, you know, foreign language that some folk is going to start speaking in his own spirit. That's of his own spirit, okay? That's not of the Holy Spirit. I'll just put it like that, okay? This ain't nothing about jibber-jabber babbling being called the work of the Holy Spirit. God told us 3 times in plain English that these men were speaking in a language that was known to their hearers. And what an audience was being addressed. Jews of the dispersion from every nation on the face of the earth. Within weeks of the day the Holy Ghost came to indwell the body of Christ, all the world will have heard the amazing story with signs confirming the message. Now, verse number 12. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking, the Bible says, said, these men are full of new wine. So the Pentecost was in June, our time. The first vintage, not until August, according to John's archaeology. A sweet, intoxicating wine could be manufactured from grapes left in the sun and from grapes left soaking in old wine. Old, fermented wine would have also been available. But there is no new wine to be had in Palestine at Pentecost in 33 A.D. These men were mocking and stating how ridiculous they felt the situation to be by accusing these men of something that would have been impossible. Little did they know that at that very moment, new wine was being poured into vessels made new by the Lord Jesus Christ. How about that? That's pretty cool. Now, H.A. Ironside, by the way, look him up. He's a pretty cool preacher. A lot of folks like to talk about Ironside and his preaching. In his lectures on Acts, and here's what Brother James gives us a quote from his lecture. Quote, the situation was illustrated very clearly to me some years ago in San Francisco when a group of us were in the habit of going down every Saturday night to the worst part of the city where hundreds of sailors from the ships in the harbor would pass. We held a street meeting from 8 o'clock until midnight, speaking to all classes of men. One speaker, now a missionary in Argentina, was a Spaniard by birth but spoke French, Italian, Portuguese, and other languages fluently. When he would see a group of French seamen passing, he would suddenly call out to them in their own language and speak to them for perhaps 20 minutes. Then, sighting a group of Portuguese sailors, he would swing over and talk to them in Portuguese, and they would gather close. Later, he might speak to a group of Spaniards or Mexicans, and then perhaps to some Italians. There was rarely a Saturday night when he did not speak in all these different languages more than once. Now, I've seen persons come up and say, what is this use of listening? He is drunk. You can't understand a word he says. They did not know the language being spoken. That is the way it was on Pentecost. That's pretty cool. Now, here we have, we continue in the Bible, verse number 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. So, who do we find? Are you ready now? This is another verse we could have shared with our brother last night. Who do we find preaching in the public place and proclaiming the gospel to this multitude of Jews and proselytes? The 12 apostles who were given the promises of signs to confirm the word back there in Mark chapter 16. The persons addressed are by all rules of grammar the Jews of Acts 2 and 5, of the nations listed in Acts 2, 9 through 11. Now that was fine preaching by Peter, and let's go ahead and read what he says. But now look, you see there, verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11. What did we read last night, brethren, in Mark 16? These signs followed them, and they preached the Lord confirming with them signs, etc. Now you know, Bible with Bible, so there's no confusion. Let's read Acts 2:14, Peter. He lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was fine preaching by Peter on that day. There were 11 other men preaching this same message. But notice, he did not say that Joel 2 was being fulfilled, nor did he suggest all the events included in the passage being quoted would have their completion on this day. That God did not pour his spirit on all flesh is clear by the number of conversions. Only 3,000 initially got saved, remember? Which is far short of the total number of people in Jerusalem on that day. It is also clear from the following chapters in the book of Acts where the believers were jailed, beaten, stoned, and killed by the religious leaders of the nation of Israel. Obviously, the sun was not darkened. Obviously, the moon did not turn to blood. So why did the Holy Ghost in Peter move him to cite Joel 2 in the sermon delivered? Because the latter days spoken of throughout the Old Covenant prophetic writings began on this day. That's good. That's good Bible exposition. Now, to whom did Peter and the 11 speak? Go back to verse number 14. Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. You see there? Why? let's go back down here to verse number 22. Verse number two, in Acts chapter 2. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Wow. So what does that tell me? The next time you have a conversation with a Pentecostal brother, charismatic, take them to the Bible and show them Acts 2, 22, Mark 16 to the end of the chapter, and Acts 1. Why in Mark chapter 16 did Jesus promise that signs would follow the apostles? Why did signs accompany the apostles when their public preaching ministry began in Acts chapter 2? Simply to equate the apostles with the Lord Jesus Christ in the minds of the men that had heard and seen Jesus and knew that the Lord worked signs, wonders, and miracles. Notice what Peter said once again, as ye yourselves also know. You know who Peter is addressing? Jews that were alive when Christ was still alive, when Christ did miracles like heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf, raise the dead. These Jews that he's addressing know exactly what he's talking about. Therefore, the signs were given these apostles to testify that they were the true spokesmen of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we close for today's Sunday school, let's finish reading to verse number 36. Acts 2:23, him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, so Peter just quoted Psalms to the Jews, and he's reminding them, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and that he is and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You know what that is? That lines up exactly with Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 3, Luke chapter 1, everything prophetically fulfilled for the Messiah to come through the lineage of King David. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. How about that? The Holy Spirit gave to Peter, the apostle, the understanding that that psalm was what we call a messianic prophecy to confirm the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. Verse number 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, you know, the one from Nazareth, that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What do we have, church? 12 Jewish apostles on a Jewish feast day addressed a Jewish congregation and proclaimed the Jewish Messiah had been crucified by the Jews and had risen from the dead. They declared that God was calling the Jews to pay attention to a group of men that had some signs, wonders, and miracles that were brought by the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the message of Pentecost. They did not speak about tongues, nor encourage anyone to receive them. They did speak of the wonderful works of God and encourage men to receive Him. Amen. Now when they, still speaking of them in verse 5, reference to that, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles. How many, breath? 11. Remember that? 12? 12. 11. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we have here? Not the 120 believers. We have the apostles. Speaking to the Jewish apostles, Peter said unto them, just exactly what John the Baptist would have said unto them, had his head not been removed, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you recall again, verse number 5, and we continue reading, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So Peter finished his message and did not have to give an altar call. He did not have to make an emotional appeal. He did not have to sing 45 verses of just as I am, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Peter finished preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost, and the testimony pricked the hearts of these men. The sword of the Spirit had been driven deep into the hearts of this great multitude, and they cried, what shall we do? Having no New Testament revelation, having no written scriptures beyond Malachi, no clear understanding of the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith given freely to individual believers, Peter spoke to this crowd exactly as John the Baptist had spoken when he came to the mark, the beginning of a transition from the Old Testament law and the prophets. His word was clear: repent and be baptized, every one of you, and ye shall, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This baptism would not save them, for they had already been told what they must do to be saved. If you go back to verse 21, call upon the name of the Lord. Those who believed the gospel wanted to know if they needed to provide the same public declaration that had been made under John the Baptist. The answer was yes. So hence, those Jews who were previously baptized were rebaptized after they were saved. That's pretty good Bible exposition there. What about what happened in the upper room? The believers received the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise here is beyond question: believe and receive the same gift. We're going to stop there for our Sunday school. Well, that's pretty good. What did we learn today? Once again, Bible defines itself, if you leave it alone, the utterance of the language is a known tongue of human language, earthly language. And when that Spirit of God gave them utterance, it was to proclaim the gospel to Jews that were dispersed when they came to honor God according to the law given to them on that day of Pentecost. And they preached unto them, Peter with the 11, remember that, the death, burial, and the resurrection, just like their Old Testament prophesied of the Messiah, what would happen. It came to pass. What do we need to do? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, because there's a Jewish context, Jewish setting, no New Testament yet. Peter followed the example from John the Baptist, because remember, he was the forerunner. He was that rabbi. What did he tell the Jews? Repent, be baptized. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So then we'll talk about what happens later on. Amen? All right. 50 more minutes. Take a break. Get in Sunday service. Amen. The Lord bless you.